You know, I'm sure you've seen the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew cans coming out.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I would try it. They're sold out. I couldn't get any. I don't think it's good. Flamin' Hot is not much of a flavor. It's like there's maybe a little bit of like vinegar, kind of like acid to it, but it's basically just spice. You know, it's not like you wouldn't even call it like lime flavored or anything. It's so I can't. I mean, maybe it just tastes like spicy Mountain Dew. I can't really imagine any like stronger take than that. But
right.
Yeah,
I have a couple cans coming. I didn't want to scare Jeff off, but maybe I did. So
I do
have
a few Jeff cans should, coming. I really don't know if Jeff should try that. That's basically, I
mean, okay. We may have killed Jeff.
That's another possibility. He might be dead. He might have died. Like we got him hooked on Mango Pepsi after a lifetime of, you know, not drinking soda. You know, he just comes, he strolls into the podcast one day with a can of mango. You can't just buy one can. You have to buy like a six pack or something. So like he has like a 24 pack of these Mango Pepsi. His system can't handle it. He might just be comatose right now.
He's fallen off the wagon and I feel responsible.
I was thinking, I was like, you know, I wonder if he fell off the wagon. Maybe that's, I don't know. I guess that's the limit of my comfort with speculating about Jeff's. It's like, you know, maybe he's a crack addict. Maybe follow Kevin. Yeah, and check out his work at Midway Games. Yeah,
very good okay. Work I did there.
Oh, I'm sure. No, it was foundational. He invented Goro. Kevin was the body double. Kevin was the mocap body double for Goro. But yeah, okay.
It's hard to end a show, isn't it? My first day at Midway, I went into this literally was my very first day working at Midway. I went into John Tobias's office, who was one of the creators of Mortal Kombat. He was the lead artist and character designer, and he came up with all the backstory for all the Mortal Kombat characters and everything. And I was helping him with a problem on his computer. I went to slide his computer out, and I didn't completely notice this, but sitting on top of the big old tower computer that he had, you know, this is back in the 90s when computers were these giant desktop things, was the original Play Goro that wow. I knocked over the floor and broke. I thought I was getting fired my very first day. Like I like literally just like walked out, went back to my office, sat down and went, well, it was fun working here for a day.
And to be fair, you should have been.
Yeah. He came in 2 minutes later saying, hey, don't worry about it. I've knocked that off my computer a dozen times. I shouldn't put it there. I should have glued it together correctly. It really was not your fault. And he was the most gracious, nice person. I ended up working there for 5.5 years after that. But
that's nice.
I thought I got fired my very first day.
That's awesome. John Tobias.
Yep.
John Tobias.
Amazing artist.
You know, Tobias, if you say that backwards, that's Cybot, like Noob Cybot, one of the characters from the game Mortal Kombat that he made. What a coincidence. It's amazing
how that, yeah, total coincidence.
So a bunch of us high school assholes from Whittier, California, get on a train with a bunch of other high school assholes that are also going to Mazatlan for, I don't know, 5 days. I don't know how long we're supposed to be there. It seemed like an eternity. Kevin, you've been to Mazatlan, I would reckon, right?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted to, but I've never have. No.
This was 1991. I don't know if it's gotten any better. I'm going to imagine it has, because it's not my favorite resort destination in Mexico. But the train ride was an enormous bummer, and it was hot. There was no air conditioning. I think it was like 20 hours, 22 hours. It was like a day of travel.
Wow.
There were some kind of rough customers on there. There were some other guys that were our age, but they were like kind of like pretty hardcore, like cholo guys, like you know, you wouldn't want to fuck with. There was a couple scorpions just at large under the seats. So everybody had their feet up the whole time because there was scorpions the size of kittens scuttling about. And the only refreshment, it's two things in one. It's the sadness of Spirit Airlines customer service, and the only thing they had to drink was not warm, hot Tecate. Tecate is not great ice cold. It's not the worst beer in the world. But a hot tecate is not what is not where the pate is at, and that's all we had the whole time. People were puking out the window, and then we would pull into a station, and because of the puke and the dust, there would just be puke racing stripes down the side of the train. It was nasty, and it was roasting hot. And I did my thing with my friend Matt, and where I would race people as I could drink a beer faster than anybody, like a shotgun it or chug it or out of a glass. And I used to hustle people at parties, like to bet them who could drink a beer faster. Because I could shotgun a beer like in under a second. It would just be like, that would be it. And so we start doing it. And then these big tough guys, they want to get in it. Now money's coming out. And I'm kicking everybody's ass. And also, I had the tolerance back then. What was I? Just 16? I was 16 years old? Wow. No, yeah. Not quite 17. Maybe I was 17. I could just drink and drink and never get drunk. And I weighed nothing. And I started winning a bunch of money and then realized I had 12 hours left on a train full of tough guys.
Right.
I magnanimously gave everybody their money back because I didn't want to die on that train. And then we get to Mazatlan, and half of my friends got like pneumonia immediately. So they were bedridden. Then you go out into Shrimp's Bay.
Sure, Shrimp's Bay.
And everybody swam out there, even though there was 1,000 signs saying jellyfish warning. They all went out there to go swim. They all got stung like all over their bodies with jellyfish. I was at the bar happily drinking.
I bet they had to pull together some sort of piss fiesta.
Oh yeah, I was on pee patrol. I was peeing on people all day and night.
You were filling up in the bar. That was your job.
Yeah, I had about 17 tecates, would urinate on a friend, go back to the bar. There was a dude in our high school named Jorge, and I never really knew what he did, but I felt like he was pretty connected because he would get in trouble and get out of trouble. He'd go to jail and get out of jail. Like, he had some pull somehow. He's the guy, for Harmontown listeners, he is the one that came out of the bar luckily and saved me from getting my ass kicked by the Cactus Brunch. The Cactus Bunch. The Cactus Brunch, by the way, on Spirit Airlines is the flavor I think you crave.
It's a potted cactus. It's just a potted cactus.
I want to go to the Cactus Brunch.
Yeah.
I'm going to open a East Whittier-themed gang's brunch restaurant called Cactus Brunch.
Yeah.
But brunch also has a K in it for some reason.
Cactus Brunch. It's like brunk. Yeah.
It's pronounced brunch. We get to Mazatlan. And there's some guys that greet us in like pickup trucks, and they're like, "Oh, you're friends of Jorge. Hop in the car. Like, we'll take you wherever you want to go. Any restaurant you want to go." And they were like treating us like absolute royalty. "You want to go on a boat? We'll make anything you want." And they got us right into clubs, like where there was a 200 person line, we would get right to the front. And then bouncer didn't let us in, and Jorge was not a very big guy. He was like, "Let me get the manager." And the manager came out and fired the dude for even getting in this dude's hair, because I think his dad was very connected to the mob down there. But these are only assumptions. I saw him again at our like 10-year high school reunion. He's an awesome dude. And he saved me from getting my ass kicked by a bunch of assholes in green bandanas.
Yeah, he sounds a lot like you.
I don't have the connections, though. I don't have the street hookups.
Sure. But you invent them. You forge them with your bare hands, Jeff.
Yes. And they will kill. So there's good news in the Nazi column, sort of, today. Mm-hmm. If there is such a thing. All right. Let's sign off. And thank you, Kevin Day. And thank you, Happuccinos, and everybody for listening. Drive chances and take fasts.
And smoke back salt. What the fuck?
Bye-bye.
Man, okay, so there's this story that the guy who invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos, like the guy who invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos, like is a motivational speaker and like consultant, who has parlayed inventing Flamin' Hot Cheetos into this huge lucrative you know, career path, essentially. And but there's an article that came out that was like, well, we looked into it and the guy's story was that he invented it in this year, and he has this story that he pitched it to this one executive, and the executive who he pitched it to also agrees that that was the story. Like, he corroborates the story. But the problem is that guy didn't work. The executive wasn't working at the company when Flaming Hot Cheetos were invented, and Flaming Hot Cheetos existed years before the guy who claims to have invented them story took place with that pitch to that executive, who again didn't work at the company until after Flamin' Hot Cheetos had been invented. So, like, and then they talked to someone, like the reporters also talked to a lady that was on the team that invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and they're like, well, they just wanted to see if you know, spicy was a direction we could go flavor wise and so we just kind of grinded on it. But then the lady was white that they talked to, and then there was a lot of people that were mad. They were like, you know, that's just you know, white people trying to take credit for this Mexican man's work. But it does seem pretty cut and dry that the guy said he invented them at a period that they already had existed for 2 years. So that does seem kind of, you know, open and shut case.
Well, that's kind of disturbing news for me, because I just right now invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
What?
Just right now.
Who'd you pitch it to?
I wrote it down and I mailed myself a sealed stamped envelope. And I think this holds up in court. Also, you know what? I'm gonna make a bold claim here. Fuck Flamin' Hot Cheetos. They're terrible. Okay. It's not a good kind of hot. I like hot.
Well, it's not
like
a flavor. Spicy. It's not a flavor. It's just capsaicin. It doesn't have any flavor to it. No. It might have like the very slightest lick of vinegar or something, but it just tastes like an empty corn with spice on it. It's not good.
I don't think I want this either. But if you gave me Tabasco flavored, now we're going back to brands on things, but if you give me like a recognizable flavor, not just hot for the sake of hot.
But people contend that it has cheese flavor, and it doesn't. Like, you can't taste any cheese to it. Like, even just give us cheese on top of the spice, that would be something, you know.
I mean, the fact that you're already in dangerous territory messing with Cheetos, because they are naturally, as I understand, dangerously cheesy. If you look at the bag, there is a cheese meter, a cheeseometer, a cheeseometer,
cheeseometer,
yeah. And the needle is buried into dangerous territory. Yeah. I think the needle actually goes off the edge of the scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I would go so far as to say they are recklessly cheesy.
You know what's crazy is when you invent the cheeseometer and you put it on the bag, and then you discover that it's off the charts cheesy and it's broken the scale. Maybe don't put it on all the other bags. They're just going to break. You know how cheesy it is.
You know that Joel Murray, who we travel with, was the original voice of Chester Cheetah. I'd known Joel for years and years and years before he laid that on us. What? Yes,
that's so good.
I remember those commercials, and I love that it was Joel Murray, the youngest of the Murray brothers, you know, Bill's youngest brother, the ninth of nine Murrays. And if you want to follow Joel, he's Joel Murray 9 of 9 on Twitter and Instagram and whatnot. Very funny dude, lovely fellow. I remember one commercial. I was like, I'm Chester Cheetah. I'm just a cool dude in a loose mood until I see those Cheetos. And then my cool turns to drool. He was kind of like a smooth, like, blaxploitation character. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember Sugar Bear. Sugar Bear started off as kind of a Bing Crosby, maybe a little Dean Martin, kind of. And then he went like. Then he became much more black, I think. I don't know. He kind of went into like a little more of like a groovy kind of like soul kind of situation. It was great. Sugar Bear was awesome. But Chester Cheetah, now if you hear Chester Cheetah on a commercial, be mad, because it should be Joel Murray, because he's the original. I love a Cheeto. Another reason why I don't like Flamin' Hot Cheetos is because, do not fucking dick with the Duke. Cheetos are perfect. They're fucking fine.
Like crunchy Cheetos, right?
I do like crunchy Cheetos. I also am a sucker for the cheese puff. But yeah, they're so greasy. Like, you open up a bag of those, you're like, okay, I'm going to die because I have to eat all these. because there's so much air in them that you don't feel like you did anything except gave yourself an incredible cholesterol rating, because it's just oil. But goddamn,
yeah, especially good. the bottom Cheetos, like you could, yeah, like it's, they're damp with oil. It's so gross. Oh
yeah, yeah, yeah. You could grease your axle and your hot rod. They're greasy. They're dangerously greasy. I like when food becomes when they're aware of the actual peril that they're putting you in by the fucking level of cheese or just flavor.
We should file a lawsuit against Cheetos for like reckless endangerment.
I don't think you can, because the cheeseometer is right there on the bag, Spencer.
So I usually go to this place called Flavor of India, and they have a spicy and a non-spicy, and the spicy has better flavor. Like, I don't know what it is. If it's, I feel like it can't just be the spice, like kicks everything up, but like, it just like, it has like a better flavor mix, although it is pretty spicy.
And because Indian, like if you go full on hot, like Indian, like
Vindaloo,
hot, like you're dead. Going back to the, to Flamin' Hot Cheetos, it's not heat for the sake of heat. It's not just adding capsaicin. Whatever chilies are using or peppers are using to make it spicy, they have flavor. It adds flavor to it. I called up my place, Agra Cafe, that I used to go to all the time or order from, and the dude comes by with a full-on turban. It's legit, and they're very nice, I would always get it medium spicy. I would get everything medium spicy, and it was good. And then I might add a little bit of that green, the little green sauce they give you, you know, the little green chili stuff, mm-hmm. and just kick it up a little bit more. And one time I was like, I'll get these two dishes medium spicy. I said, but this one, let's go spicy, spicy. And he's like I won't do the accent because I will offend everybody.
I'll do it.
I can do it, but I'm not going to. But he's like, how, do you want an Indian spicy? I'm like, what's that? He's like, that's how we eat it. Like, yeah, give me that dish the way you would make it for you and your family. Like lay it on me Indian style. He's like, okay. He goes, it's very hot. He
sits down on the floor cross-legged.
and then when he gave it to, then when he gave it to me, he took it right took back. It back. He took it fucking right back.
Oh no. You
see, some stereotypes are true, everybody. So my phone rings, and it's the dude from Agra, and he goes, how is it? And I go, I'm not enjoying this. he goes, you asked for it. I go, no, I asked for it. I said, I can't eat this. Well, it was like, I got a few bites in, and I said, like, this is not fun anymore. This is very, very painful. And he was laughing, and I was like, I appreciate it. I say, I'm going to stick to medium from now on. He goes, good. I said, it's nice to try. And the same for Thai. Like, if you get Thai food and get Thai spicy, like, get it the way grandma makes it. Holy smoke. You get a special kind of diarrhea. Like your asshole looks like the top of the building at the end of Ghostbusters. Where all of the demons are just shooting out and escaping into the night.
One time I got the Hallon Rays, and I touched my eye after I touched the chicken while I was driving, and then my eye started burning, and I was driving, and I was like, my eye. And then I put water in. I was trying to flush it out with water while I was driving, but I just like put water in my eye, and that spread the spice all throughout my eye, and then my eye just exploded in pain, and it was a nightmare. But then there was this moment where I've told the story, I'm sure, but there's this moment where I had to get very zen, which is just like, I'm in terrible pain. This is going to keep happening. I don't know how to stop it, and I don't know when it will stop. So I need to just become okay with this, and my existence is just burning eye world, you know, for the next 5-20 minutes, the rest of my life, who knows. But like, there's this very zen moment that happened to me, and I don't think I've ever had a moment like it since then. But it was just, it really stood out to me, where I was like, I control everything.
Like in your mouth, the capsaicin pain isn't actual pain. You're not actually burning. It's just a sensor that your brain is being told that you're on fire, but you're actually fine. It's just a psychological, it's a neurological effect happening. But it seems like if you put it in your eye, that might be different. It seems like you can fuck your eye up if you well, put a hot sauce in it.
I think spice can cause chemical burns. I know that like sour foods can cause chemical burns, but I think spice can too. So I'm not sure. It's definitely an irritant, regardless. You know, anything else aside, it's absolutely an irritant. Yeah. So I don't.
I was an amateur egg pickler for a while. I'm just kind of just rambling now. I mean, I feel so distracted by everything because I have to, like, in the morning I have to get on the phone and talk to my anesthesiologist, who is the guy that's going to either make me die or not die.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have to take, they gave me a home COVID test. It looks like a very complicated apparatus. So I got to take my own COVID test and shit like that.
Yeah. Anesthesia.
I want to show you guys, but it's so nasty. It's just, it looks like if you took the skin off a testicle. Right. It would just be like just a smooth, glowing, like shiny orb of blood vessels. It's not good.
So you think your testicles are glowing, shiny orbs of blood vessels?
I'm almost certain.
Okay, fair enough.
Doesn't that just seem like that's the case?
I mean, for you, I definitely imagine you having glowing balls. Yes,
I think that's why God made scrotum so unattractive, because he doesn't want you to discover the beauty that lies within, because we'd all just be ripping off our flesh and looking at the glowing orbs inside of our body. All right, can we end it there?
Yeah,
I think so, that's our show. Hey, thank you, Happuccinos, for listening. I've been Jeff Davis. Spencer has been Spencer. Brought to you by Tecate Light, as always, and the good people of Bounty.
Yeah,
dangerously absorbent. I think it says there on the Bounty package.
The absorbometer is broken. But just check out Jeff. Jeff's going on tour. The Who's Live. What is it? Who's Live? Is it anyway.com?
It's Who's Live anyway.com.
But and then while Jeff's gone, me and Kevin are going to try and do the show without Jeff. We'll try and pull you as if we can. But, you know, we might have to, the show must go on, you know.
I'm going to do my best to do it remotely from whatever backstage or hotel room I'm in across this great nation of ours.
Hello and welcome to What Went Wrong, an oral history of NBC's Ultimate Slip and Slide, the TV series that halted production amid reports of explosive diarrhea on set. I'm Spencer Crittenden, joined by our host, Jeff Brian Davis.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Happuccinos. It's Jeff and Spencer, and we're back with That Happens. It's time to drink, but all I have is water. When did I become like the water drinking guy?
Ugh. You know, a lot of people like seltzer. Do you drink seltzer, Jeff, or are you just a plain water guy? I'm a plain water guy. I don't like those bubbles unless they're in soda.
I like fuzzy water. I like my water fuzzy. Yeah. At home I drink just straight old jug, you know, like bottled flat water. But if I go out when I'm not drinking out of the bar, I'll get a soda water and bitters, because it's like a cocktail. But it's I like a little firm of water sometimes.
Yeah, man, and I like my water thick. You know, just give it oozing right out out the bottle. You know.
Yeah, that's called syrup.
Not the way I drink it.
But I got to work on the Norm show, his kind of short-lived sitcom. I think it was only on for two seasons, maybe. And it was him, Max Wright, the dad from Alf, Laurie Metcalf, awesomely, and Artie Lang. It was maybe the most dysfunctional cast I've ever been happy enough to work with, lucky enough to work with. Lori hated being there, even though she's a genius actor and a genius sitcom actor, but she hated it. She hated the cameras, she hated the audience, she hated everything. She just wanted to move back to Chicago and do theater with her daughter at the Steppenwolf. Max Wright is a crazy town. He's the guy that would miss table reads, and he would just be like in New Hampshire in a ditch, like his car driven off the side of the road with a lap full of empty champagne bottles. And then he was famously on the cover of National Enquirer, one of those rags, hidden cameras, like, doing crack with gay homeless guys. Awesome stuff.
Ditches, you know, they're not. Ditches used to be a happening spot, you know, like basically up until maybe the 1970s, I want to say. Like, you know, things were going on in ditches, but now, like, it's, you know, it's trash or nothing.
Yeah, it's all, these days, it's all ravines. it's mostly a ravine kind of situation now.
Back in my day, we had a ditch and we were happy about it.
Yeah. Luxury. We used to dream about being in a ditch. So on the night of the show, because Norm didn't really rehearse that hard. Laurie Metcalf, on the other hand, because she is a consummate professional actor, she really rehearsed. She took notes, and she every rehearsal throughout the sitcom week, she was trying things out and really like digging in and like experimenting and exploring. And everybody else is like comics and lazy, and you can I'll be funny on the night. And Norm didn't really rehearse that much. And before the show, this is the first time I'd ever seen a sitcom do this. And we were shooting at Warner Brothers. And also, if the police are on their way, Spencer, make sure that you warn a brother.
How often does that come up? I mean, that's great, but how often can you fit that into anywhere? I saw a dude
with that shirt with the WB logo, you know, like the, you know, the WB, and it said, if the police come in, Warner Brothers. It's a great shirt. We met in the green room, where normally it's reserved for the network exec, Mucky Mucks, to watch the show and pass judgment from on high. The whole cast met up there, and guest stars like myself, I was just a guest star on it. And to do a speed read before the show, which I'd never seen before, like to really just speed read the entire episode. And I got the impression that it was basically for Norm. And then is this story ringing a bell to either of you? Did I just tell this story on the show?
Not just, but yeah. Then you said, like, weren't you talking to Artie Lang about how he, like,
yes,
how he just gets blasted and gets, like, it sounded like I imagined, like, a moving dolly, and he was just, like, on the dolly, and he just, like, rolled him in.
No, I don't know. He was gone for, like, an hour and a half. The audience was loaded in, so I know I'm repeating myself now, but we were all worried about it, Norm. I'm like, does this happen a lot? And Artie offered me a cigar. I'm like, I don't smoke, but can I take one for a friend? He's like, yeah. He gave me this nice, like, Nat Sherman cigar. And or like little cigarillo kind of thing, and if you can imagine, I knew Artie a little bit, but Artie was like, he seemed like the level one, like the level headed guy in the cast comparatively to everybody else in this weird ass group of people. And Norm came in, he had done a bunch of Xanax, and then when the taping started, he was perfect. He was absolutely perfect. Norm's not a great dramatic actor, apparently, and there was a scene when he fucks up, like his love interest in the show, and I'm blanking on the actress's name, but he steps in and he does something stupid, and she's like, you know what, I don't ever want to talk to you again, like this is over, I was like, you know, fuck you, this is the end, and she slams the door and walks out and slams the door behind her, and that's the end of the scene. And I think that was a commercial break, and Norm in the script is supposed to look very sad. So she would do the line in rehearsal, and she would go, I never want to talk to you again. Slam. And then Norm would just stand there. And just waiting for someone to yell cut. And Sam would go, okay. So Sam geniusly found a way to make Norm act sad. Sam took his watch off and took his wristwatch off and placed it on the floor about 5 feet to the right of Norm. So when the actress, he goes, Norm, when she leaves, watch her walk out, slam the door, take a beat, and then look at my watch. So that's how they did it. Like teaching a dog to act. I shouldn't tell it. You should have Robert Dan tell the story about them meeting Norm. They were doing improv comedy sports in Milwaukee, where they're from, for Summerfest, which is a big, you know, like outdoor music festival and stuff like that. And they would always be comedy sports, and everybody's drunk, and you know it's you know, it's Milwaukee, so everybody's, you know, well fucked up.
Sure.
And it's roasting out because it's summertime and it's humid, and I guess Norm showed up and he had really bad diarrhea and he was not feeling well, and this person who was like the wrangler for him kept saying, you cannot swear, you cannot do anything about God, Jesus, No religious stuff, no swearing, we won't pay you. And he's like, okay, I need to take a shit. I got to shit myself. I'm sure I'm going to shit my pants right now. And like, you can't swear. You can't swear. And he's like, I know. And, like, and he's freaking out, and he's hot, and he's got explosive diarrhea. And she wouldn't lay off him about it, apparently. And she just kept saying, don't swear, no religious stuff, no God, no this, no that. And if I'm remembering how Robin Danoff told me the story, he gets on stage and his first line is, Jesus, cocksucker, is it hot out here? and then he continued to go on and do the dirtiest set of all time because he's fucking awesome. Jesus, cocksucker.
You won't be able to wait once Kevin sends you his patented box of sodas.
Yeah,
Kevin,
show us
behind me.
Yeah, show us, Kevin.
So I got in touch with a couple guys that run an exotic soda company who have sent me a cornucopia of unusual flavors, including, if you're talking about Pepsi here, Japan flavored Pepsi. It's just called Pepsi. Whoa. Japan Cola. I don't know what Japan tastes like, but we're going to find out.
It's probably kind of like a sesame situation.
Whoa, that could be good.
Yeah. I want Japan Cola. That's just cool packaging. I like that.
Oh, man, the product packaging in Japan is so crazy. It's so much more detailed than you get out here, you know? It's awesome.
Fanta, what is this? Fanta White?
This is milk grape.
What?
Okay, so there's a picture of grapes. What are you saying that is? That's yogurt, you think that is? There's like a bowl of white.
I believe it's yogurt, yes.
Grape yogurt.
Grape yogurt. But not even like red grapes. These are green grapes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No one's made green grape yogurt.
Some Mountain Dew Flamin' Hot that we're going to try.
Well, we've
actually gone and done. And
then the very limited edition Mountain Dew Spark we're going to be trying too.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's like a raspberry lemonade.
Yeah, that looks like a concern. Kevin, if you've got a black market line on Dublin Dr. Peppers, I will take some of those.
I'll see what I can do for you.
All right. Yeah. Those are great. And they're small. You don't need the whole 12 ounces. They're like a little 8 ounce situation. It's nice.
Well, that's the thing. Like you were saying, you know, you take a couple sips of soda. That's probably how soda was intended, you know, before like this giant rush to just fill Americans with sugar or
whatever. No, the way soda was originally intended was it was filled with cocaine. Can you imagine just being like just going into a soda fountain like down in your on the corner of Bedford Falls, wherever the fuck you're from, and walk in there and just get a glass full of cocaine. Yeah. Fucking rad. Because the original Dr. Pepper commercials was